I'm Chevy, and today on The Daily Shed, we discuss the movie The Key Man. Hello, friends. It's Monday, Movie Monday here. Welcome to The Shed. I hope you're having a good weekend. Today is Memorial Day in the United States, which is a day to remember those who have given their lives for our country. And it's typically a day of celebration. It's not a somber day. Usually people grill out, have family time. There are a few events around the country. The major one that, sadly, I've never attended. I need to attend it. Is a ride to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. And every year they get hundreds of thousands of bikes, millions of people in D.C. going to see the Vietnam Memorial. And I've never made that ride. I don't know why. I've been invited to join a few groups before, but it's just never worked out for me, time frame. So that's something I definitely want to do in the future, but it's a national holiday. So it's a day of family time and remembrance. But mostly grill outs, cookouts. It's kind of the first weekend of the summer here, so everything kind of opens Memorial Day weekend, and people go camping and that sort of stuff. But not me. Not me. I spent the weekend helping my parents, wiring their garage, running new circuits to the back of the garage and stuff, and then watching today's movie. Today's movie I found on Netflix in the drama category under crime dramas. And I had to scroll to the bottom again to find a one-star rated movie. And that movie is called The Key Man. Let me read you the description. And then you can judge for yourself whether you would have picked this movie. It says... A struggling insurance man, desperate to provide for his family, is roped into getting a rich-quick scheme by two con men driving to the breaking point. What a terribly written description. It was made in 2011. Hugo Weaving's in it, which is cool. Brian Cox, Judy Greer. And there's some names in here. So it has a one-star rating on Netflix. I don't think I would give it a one-star rating, actually. I semi-enjoyed this movie for various reasons. It was made in 2011, but this film was set in the 70s, and they did a lot of 70s-style editing and filmography. They used some really grainy film, so it had that 70s look to it. The movie, it's about an hour and 30 minutes. If you want to watch it, it's not that long. Maybe a little hour and 40 minutes. It is largely a movie of B-roll. And by that I mean there's not a whole lot of key dialogue. There's not a lot of key scenes. There's a lot of filler. Like, this probably could have been a half-hour TV show. But instead it's 90 minutes. And that's not to say it's bad for that. The B-roll is enjoyable. The editing is fun. If it's a little annoying after a while. There's a lot of that, like, piece together, frame by frame, odd overlay type editing that was done in the 70s. Like that new, oh, dude, look what we can do. But, you know what? I wouldn't give it 3 stars. I wouldn't give it 1 star. I would probably give it about a 3 out of 5. It actually wasn't a terrible movie. The acting was really good. Hugo Weaving plays Hugo Weaving. I don't know what else you could say about that. And it was stylistically interesting. If you're into that sort of thing. If you like filmography, you'd probably enjoy watching the stylization of this, especially like a modern interpretation of 70s film. So I thought it was actually an interesting movie. In the movie Insurance Man, it kind of steers you wrong in saying that the guy was struggling. They set it up in the beginning as he was used to be the top rung in insurance, and now he's at the bottom, so that these two con men pick him. But he wasn't. You didn't get the impression that he was struggling at all. And then they basically promised him they'll sign an insurance deal, which was going to give him a pretty big cut. And then he told his wife he could buy a house. So they end up buying this house, and now he's stuck. So he inadvertently got in a bad situation. And then he took these guys up on their con man offer to basically run an insurance scam. And yeah, so interesting little flick. If you're into that sort of stuff, I actually would probably tell people, go watch it. It was not terrible. It was not... When I go into a one-star movie on Netflix, I expect to see just complete garbage. That was my hope, honestly, because that's the challenge of doing these sorts of things, is saying nice things about something that so many people have trashed. But I think this is one of those artsy movies that has a key demographic, and I probably fit that demographic fairly well. I enjoyed the stylization of it. So if you're into that sort of thing, The Key Man might be for you. It is currently on Netflix, so go check it out. That's all I got for you guys today. Tomorrow we'll be back with some sort of topic. I haven't picked it yet, so if you have any suggestions, please leave those in the comments. If you've seen The Key Man and you want to talk about it, leave that in the comments. And if you go watch it, put that in the comments too. Lots of comments. I like comments. Please, talk to me in the comments. It's like my little chat room. So tomorrow I'll be back with a topic, and I'll catch you guys then.
Hey, Doc, wait! I want to ask you something.
Today's random facts comes from Newsmax.com. How were Theodore and Franklin related? While many Americans may assume that President Franklin D. Roosevelt, 1933 to 1945, was the son of Theodore Roosevelt, 1901 to 1909, the two former presidents who led the country three decades apart were actually fifth cousins. Their closest tie was FDR's wife Eleanor, who was also the niece of President Theodore Roosevelt. Whoa. So, hold on. They were fifth cousins, but he married her niece. Was she a niece by marriage? Somebody do the math. That's kind of weird.